From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Vertex Rail will manufacture railroad tank cars once its plant in Wilmington, an old crane production facility, is upfitted for its highly specialized operations. Vertex is widely expected to invest about $60 million in the community and hire about 1,300 people. According to senior economist Woody Hall at UNCW's Cameron School of Business, Vertex will likely have more than $1 billion impact on the economy. Notably, the biggest economic boon for the area in recent history arrived without the help of cash incentives. Donald Croteau is the CEO of Vertex Rail. He's with us today to talk about why he chose Wilmington for his plant, how he went from being a kid growing up in the projects to the head of a high-tech rail car company, and why he's signed on to a relatively new local program called Hometown Hires. Donald Croteau, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. Pleasure to be here.
We encourage you to join the discussion. You can email questions for Donald Croteau to coastline@whqr.org. Later in the program, we'll be joined by District Attorney Ben David, one of the creators of Hometown Hires, and at that point, we'll also take your phone calls. Donald Croteau, you didn't come from privilege. You didn't come from a wealthy family tradition. How old were you when your father left the family?
Well, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. My sister was a couple of years younger than me. My brother was a year older. And as luck or fate would have it, my dad left when we were very, very young, never looked back. So we grew up really poor in the projects, on welfare. I tell people the story occasionally of having to go through the cushions of the couch at the end of every month just to make it to the next check. And we're just very lucky. I'm lucky in my life to have, for some reason, broken out of that and broken through that. And hopefully I can be an example to others that it can be done.
So you grew up entirely without a father?
Yes, I did.
Are you angry? When you think about him, do you get angry at him? Are you angry about that now?
No, my mother did as well as she could. Obviously, it was a tough environment in the projects at the time. She did her best. I don't think about it that much. It's interesting you asked the question because very few people do. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I think the only time it ever troubled me was when I had my own children. If I didn't quite know how to be a dad at that moment in time, I had to kind of learn on the fly. But in some strange way, I would suggest that I consider myself a bit lucky. I know that seems odd, but I see that people, as they evolve, they bring a lot of bad habits to relationships, parenthood, spouses, children. And I didn't have that baggage. I just had me. Now, my bad habits are my bad habits, I suppose. But I didn't have any baggage that I brought with me. So, I don't feel badly at all.
So, in the raising of your own kids, you've been able to consciously choose the behaviors and the way you want to raise them rather than having been imprinted from the time you were a small child.
Yeah, I think so. I won't say I've done it well all the time, but they were my decisions and my imprinting rather than someone else's. So, yes.
So, you say that, in a way, that was a fortunate occurrence. A lot of people would be angry about that and would continue to be, even if it's just subconsciously, still acting out. But you went from being this kid in the projects with no apparent outward advantages to a very successful CEO of a company that is having a huge economic impact on Wilmington. How did that happen?
Well, it didn't happen easily. I would say that while I can tell you now that I considered myself lucky to have gone through it, I was pretty angry early on. The environment of the projects, the environment of no money, no privilege, no anything really, does weigh on you. And there was a long time as a youngster that I was pretty mad. And I can't tell you why it happened, but when I was 18 or 19 years old, I was working for a company that did what we do now, but on a much smaller, more exotic scale. And at 18 or 19 years old, a switch flipped in my head and said, I'm going to stop being mad and I'm going to learn how to do this. And that's really why we're here today.
Did you go to college?
No.
Did you ever seek any sort of higher education after high school?
I think I puttered around right after high school because I thought I was supposed to. But I had not a lot of direction. I had not a lot of guidance. So I puttered around really off and on for a semester and a half at night because I didn't have any money, so I had to work during the day. And it just never took to me. My brain didn't was not interested in it. My heart wasn't interested in it. And I didn't see a future with it. So I just didn't do it.
So when you started in this industry at 18 or 19, mm-hmm. and you said, I'm going to learn the industry, I imagine it would have been a entry-level job at that point?
Oh, sure. I was the shipper receiver. The only reason I went to work for this particular company, I had worked at a grocery store after high school as a bundle boy, a bagger, I guess. And I elevated myself. When I think about it now, it's kind of funny. I elevated myself to shipper receiver at the grocery store. And I saw an ad in the newspaper for this particular company, a French company, applied for the job. And because I studied French in junior high school, it's kind of interesting, and I could read some 60% of a letter they showed me, I got the job. So my French teachers from 7th and 8th grade are probably part of the reason that we're here today.
And how are you able to continue climbing the corporate ladder, if you will, without any kind of college degree?
Oh, I think it was 70 or 80 hours a week of work. That's the truth. You know, there's this old joke that to be a success in business, you only have to work a half a day. And everyone smiles, and I say, you just have to pick which 12 hours it's going to be. Because that's what I did. I put my head down, and I didn't stop. I haven't stopped yet.
And you say that you can't stop.
You have
to keep going because what?
Well, I think it's we'll talk a little bit later about hometown hires and people who come from a less privileged background. And I don't make a difference in my mind between privilege and no privilege, an opportunity and not an opportunity. But when you ask me about my background or you ask some folks about their background, I know that there's a chip on their shoulder. I've had this conversation with many of them recently because they need to understand that I do understand where they come from. And I probably have that same chip as well. And for me as a young kid growing up in a less than ideal environment, if I stopped, something bad would happen.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because we were always fighting. People were beating each other up. Bad things were happening in the projects all the time. So you always had to keep on the move emotionally, physically, psychologically. And I don't think that ever leaves you. I know it's never left me. I may be different than other people, but I will tell you still to this day that I have to work, I have to travel, I have to move, because if I don't, in my mind, psychologically, something bad, not physically, of course, but literally something bad could happen. So for me, it's a constant, maybe now a little bit of a negative motivator, but it's part of me and I'm used to it.
Apparently it's worked for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about why you chose Wilmington.
You
rejected the notion of cash incentives. Why?
Well, it isn't that they weren't offered. The state was wonderful. The county was wonderful. The city was wonderful. Everybody that we talked to did their best to entice us to come to Wilmington. We had offers from many other states. We had opportunities in many other states. But the incentives were, in the scope of our overall business identity, the incentives, the money suggested, the money offered, was really quite small in comparison. And I knew that I was putting stress. If we took it from them, there was going to be stress somewhere else.
And when you say that, you mean perhaps a social program wouldn't get funded or?
Exactly. Yeah, because, again, the amount of money offered was as well as they could do, as good as they could do. But it really wasn't quite enough to make it interesting for us, honestly. And it was kind of strange in that, and Wilmington's not unique. So when I say this, I don't want anybody on air to get upset with them. But in order for me to gain incentives, I had to tell them I didn't like Wilmington. And we had made the emotional, physical, financial decision in the early fall that Wilmington was probably where we needed to go. And I had a lot of folks suggesting the incentives, pushing on the incentives, talking about how much money it could be, how much money it might be. And it seemed to be a very complicated, never-ending process. And we had to make pretend we didn't like Wilmington to get them. So I said, I think it was in October, we just have to get here. Stop talking about it. Don't ask anyone about it. Tell everyone we're not interested in it. We just need to get to Wilmington to get going. Because one of the issues we have is that we're a market-driven business. Most businesses are, whether they think they are or not. And your job is to get to market as fast as you can. And all the time we would have spent making pretend we didn't like Wilmington and maybe getting a little bit of money, maybe not, and the state trying hard and the county this and the governor that, who did a wonderful, they all did a wonderful job. it just became so counterintuitive to me that I said, we're not going to do this anymore. So let's just get to Wilmington and get going.
Do you think that other companies who have actually located in Wilmington and taken cash incentives had intended to come here? Does it ever make a difference to a company, really? Is that the reason?
I think the size of the company matters. We have a potential revenue rate at our company of $600 to $800 million a year here in Wilmington. So even though they tried really hard and they maybe were offering $300,000 or $400,000 a year, in the scope of $600 or $800 million, that's really not a lot of money. I think the smaller the company is, maybe the more worldly, because some people may accuse me of that, the more seasoned they are about getting incentives, yeah, they may need them more, they may want them more. But for us, it was a conscious professional decision not to take them.
Now, there were some, we're going to be going to break in just a minute or so, but there were some other elements that were really appealing to you, among them training help from
yes.
Cape Fear Community College.
Yes, absolutely. Cape Fear Community College, Wilmington Business Development, NC Works. There are a group of people there that have worked with us quietly from November, a year ago November, till now, who made it possible for us to be here. And Cape Fear Community College proved to us, first off, they said they could bring the opportunities and the training, and then they're proving it.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking with the CEO of Vertex Rail, Donald Croteau, about his recent decision to locate in New Hanover County. Coming up after the break, District Attorney Ben David joins us to talk about the Hometown Hires program and why he says fighting poverty is fighting crime. We'll also find out how Vertex Rail plays a role in that program. If you have a question for either of our guests, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. With us once again in the studio is the CEO of Vertex Rail, Donald Croteau. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Also joining us now to explore how Vertex is collaborating with Hometown Hires is the District Attorney of New Hanover and Pender Counties, Ben David. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Rachel. It's great to be here.
You're invited to join the discussion. If you have a question for either of our guests, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. Ben David, for those who haven't heard about the program, Hometown Hires, what is it?
It's a crime prevention strategy that begins with the understanding that economic opportunities in this area is good for everyone. It keeps us safer. It breaks recidivism, that is repeat offenses. I was tired of seeing wasted potential at the courthouse. To be clear, you look at a man like Donald Grotu, and what I think emerges, he's not succeeding despite his past. He's succeeding because of it. There is a deficit out there. There's a gap that's growing in this country between the wealthy and the poor. There's a deficit also when we talk about families. There's no dads in the home, as Donald mentioned. What we can do to really help with life and liberty that I work on at the courthouse is focusing on that third inalienable right, and that's the pursuit of happiness.
And that's something you say, the inability to pursue happiness or the feeling that one can't pursue happiness is what you say fueled some of the marches and the riots in Ferguson, for instance.
Ferguson, New York, the national conversation, it's really about things that go beyond just police and prosecutors. I think sometimes we expect too much of police and prisons. It's really about enforcing order in the absence of opportunity becomes very difficult.
And this is something that sort of might explain then why you're doing it, because you're sort of turning the role of district attorney on its head.
Yeah.
We think of district attorneys as people who fight crime and prosecute offenders as you know, in as tough a way as they possibly can. And you're actually creating this post-prison program.
And we're still doing that. To be clear, this is not about going light on crime. We are looking not just at inputs, that is putting people in prison to keep you safer, but outputs. That is, who's remaining out on the street on probation, who's getting out of prison onto parole, and that's 98% of the people in North Carolina that we put into prison. What are we doing with that huge group?
98% of the people who go to prison
get out.
Are coming out at some point.
Two-thirds of them will reoffend and be back in that prison cell within 2 years under current statistics. So what we have to think about to keep you safe, to keep everyone who's listening safe, is not just put everybody away and lock them up and throw away the key. We do that with violent criminals, with career criminals, with drug traffickers. The kid who broke into your car, the one who's drug addicted, they're getting out, they're staying out because prisons can't support all that load. What we have to look at holistically now is what we're doing to create economic opportunities for everyone, because that's what will truly break the back of generational poverty and looking at the long-term unemployment that a lot of people are in that fuels the youth violence, the gang violence that everyone was talking about this time last year.
When you're talking about economic opportunity, we can look at someone like Donald Croteau, the CEO of Vertex, and say, this guy grew up in the projects, his father left when he was four, and he pulled himself up by the bootstraps and became this hugely successful executive.
That's right. And there's what this at the core of Hometown Hires is about: relationships. There are people who work directly with at-risk families, if that's the term we're going to use, in the nonprofit sector. We're strategically aligning them with the business sector, the folks who have jobs, and say, we can do a background check. We can do a drug test. And we do that for free, by the way. Castle Branch, who's nationally headquartered, does that for free for all our applicants. But it goes way beyond that. If there's a young person who is now 25 who first came into Dreams or Kids Making It at age 13, that executive director knows him pretty well. That, as a matter of fact, was our first hometown hire. A young man, Jarvis, who Jimmy at Kids Making It had seen for over a decade. I called Michael McCorder, who runs Mojo Music, and I said, Michael, here's a guy who's been doing laser machines for a long time now. That's your business. Why don't you guys have lunch? So it goes beyond just, you know, the formal record checks. It's a relationship base. It's a strategic alliance between the public, the private, and nonprofit sectors. And the only common link between all of these applicants is that they're locally rooted here in this community. They're black, they're white, they're young, they're old. Some have records. Some have never been in trouble. All of them have been around long enough where we could really get to know them first.
And so there's a real vetting process that goes on, not just the background check.
Absolutely.
But as you say, the relational
As my
element.
Co-founder Chip Mahan said at the Live Oak Bank, hope's not a strategy. We have to have a strategic business plan if we're going to talk to CEOs about why this is a win-win and why this isn't running a charity. This is good for their business.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with District Attorney Ben David and Vertex CEO Donald Croteau about Vertex's decision to locate here and how the company is collaborating with Hometown Hires. Vernon, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is CEO of Vertex. I'm a veteran. My name is Vernon.
Yes, Vernon, how are you?
All right, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
All right, I'm calling to see when is you going to when they're going to start calling some of the applications and resumes, because I put mine in from day one when they first came to one.
Well, it's a good question. A lot of people are asking that. We're actually pretty much right on schedule with our internal plans. What happened, of course, is when you see the big announcement with the governor in November and then we had our job fair in December, everybody thought, probably incorrectly so, that hiring would begin immediately. It is our plan and it is the ramp that we'll begin hiring in this month of January. And most of the shop people, most of the floor type people will be hired from January through April or May. We're going to start production in March on the sample cars, which need to be approved by the government prior to the facility going online. And then in April, May, you'll see us really ramp up for hiring. So it's going to be a bit of time, but don't lose hope and hang in there. Everything's going to go really well.
All right, and I appreciate that.
Thanks so much
for your call, Vernon. You're listening to Coastline. If you have a question for either of our guests, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. And Donald Croteau, you have committed to hiring 10% of the workforce that you'll need through Hometown Hires. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have scheduled to have approximately 1,342 jobs at the plant. Of all different types, of course, but we felt that because this is a life-changing opportunity for lots of people, ourselves included, this is a big chance for Wilmington. It's a big opportunity for us. We should take that opportunity and do something good with it, and we just felt Hometown Hires made a lot of sense.
Are you concerned about the risk? I mean, realistically, we're talking about some people who may not have the best work history. Is that right? Is there a risk to you as an employer?
Sure, there's always a bit of risk, and there'll always be attrition, both on quote-unquote great employees and not-so-good employees. We expect that just because of the program and some of the inability of folks in the program to have worked before, that there'll be some stress, we'll call it that, stress. But we're ready for that. And if someone falters, we'll be right behind them with someone else to take their place.
And Ben David, as part of the Hometown Hires program, you're including mentors in this. So when someone gets a job and it may be a new world for them, say going from being a drug dealer to having a legitimate job and getting a paycheck, there's support for that person.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a critical piece of Hometown Hires is in addition to the wonderful professionals at Cape Fear Community College who give us space actually for the United Way to be headquartered to do all the vetting of the applicants. There's obviously on-the-job training that takes place with many different employers. Cape Fear is committed to providing some of that as well. But in addition, we have people who are outside the company who hires, who says, you know, I'd like to meet you once a week for coffee. I want to hear about what your life is like. Let's talk about having a plan for maybe having a bank account for the first time in your life. Let's get some real strategic alignment going on with folks that are outside of the hiring company so that they can start to have almost a life coach in addition to the economic opportunity that job provides.
So when they come up against difficulties or obstacles, as they inevitably will,
they're not gossiping with coworkers, they're not bringing drama to work, they're actually having a resource outside of it. And that's a key piece of Hometown Hires.
And Ben David, you've actually spoken to groups, you've spoken at conferences about this model. Can you tell us where you've gone with this around
Sure.
the country?
Pew Charitable Trust brought a few of us out. 500 people were at the conference, but a few of us from North Carolina to talk about justice reinvestment, how we're actually reducing the prison population and the crime rate at the same time. And Hometown Hires was one of the things that I was personally asked to discuss. Here's who else was there. Van Jones, who's in Obama's White House. And you're thinking, maybe this is a liberal thing. Not so fast. So was Grover Norquist, and so was Newt Gingrich. And you know what? Everyone agreed on this. It's a left-right coalition because it's not just about reconciliation and second chances. It's about working smarter. It's about economic investment in people. That's our greatest resource. If you look at why a company like Vertex came to town, it wasn't because of our sand. It wasn't because of our sun. It was because our people are job-ready and they're committed to making his business a success. And you watch. We're going to build something great.
And Donald Crotto, you said that you actually have a line in your budget. Mm-hmm. There's money that's earmarked for investment in the community.
Correct.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, again, this is a life-changing opportunity for us as business partners and for the community and for the company and for the people. So when we decided to come here, we decided to make the plant a Wilmington-based operation. We put a charitable contribution line, not below profit, not if we happen to make enough money and, geez, maybe we'll give a little back. It is an expense on our business plan. We will spend this money just like we buy paper towels and pens and pencils. And the mandate is that it has to go back to the communities where our people live, not where we live, not where we might like it to go somewhere, but where our people live.
Why? Why are you doing that?
Well, because we want our people to be proud of what they work for, who they work for, what they work to do. And I can't imagine any better success than having someone know that they built the basketball court. They did the preschool program. They did the hot breakfast program. It isn't about Vertex. Our name may be on it because that's part of what we do. It really is about our people being proud of themselves and proud of their company, because if they are, then we'll do well.
You know, Ben David, one of the things that I found striking, I watched a video of you that it was something like a TED Talk, and you were presenting to the business community. And this is the traditional wealthy establishment here in the Cape Fear region. I think it was a room full of mostly white people, probably mostly men, and you were getting buy-in from this group. And this is the group that typically has the biggest cultural divide and socioeconomic divide with the very people that you're talking about helping.
Justice means more than punishing the wicked. It means lifting up the poor and the oppressed. I think people understand that. This is about reconciliation for communities. This is about making sure that all of us share in that American dream. And this is not a thing that divides us politically. I mean, that's what I was trying to stress by, you know, just like the Pew Charitable Trust putting us all together. This is a moral issue. At the end of the day, this is really a moral issue more than anything else. And so that's why you have buy-in. I mean, We quietly put 90 people to work through this program in deeply rooted local communities over this last year. There was no photo op. There was no press conference. There was no other political official except for me talking to these CEOs quietly in the back rooms. Chip Mahan invited them in. Live Oak Bank, absolutely. And I said to them, you know, what this is really about is just doing the right thing. This is going to help everybody. This isn't a handout. This is a hand up, and this is really about not just helping that individual that you're giving a job to. This is about making your company better, and this is about making the community better. And they not only bought into that, they put their money where their mouth is and started hiring people through it, and that's our best advertisement. It's nothing that I can say. It's what these employees and employers are doing together.
And what are you seeing now with these 90 people? The program has been around for what, about a year?
It started exactly a year ago. It was in a snowstorm in January, actually, where we had our first CEO meeting behind the scenes. What you're referring to, the TED Talk, was in December, where I launched the initiative on a stage of about 400 people watching. You can go to hometownhires.com and watch that, and I'm sure the website that you have here at the station could too. What we're challenging people to do is say, let's just quietly do this, and if it's as good as we're talking about, it'll have a force all its own. And it's been so successful because of the work of a lot of people who are not in the studio right now, that a great company, a great CEO, a great corporate citizen, like Donald Crotu and Vertex, can see it all the way from Boston and say, we got to get our business down to where the greatest resource is, and that's the people.
There was a small business owner who'd hired someone through Hometown Hires, and when he was asked about the risk that he was taking, I think he said something like, I think I got the better end of the deal. And are you finding that you're getting that kind of reaction from other CEOs, other businesses in the community?
Everywhere I go. You know, I now go into the restaurants where people are working that, you know, first met through this program. I'm buying some of the products that were made by folks who are having this relationship. And it's wonderful to see, you know, because really it almost doesn't matter what the product is. Who you work with is more important than what you do. And it says a powerful message to the other employees when the CEO, because the HR directors respectfully were not invited to these meetings. We said it had to start at the top. When these thought leaders, when these visionary folks were in the room with each other and they heard this idea, they said, it's time to lead from the front. And they get it. The reason they're successful is because of tough love. Someone showed them that. And Don had a lot of the tough growing up. And I see a lot of the kids at the courthouse with the tough. This is about giving a little bit of the love back. When you're in a position of power and you're able to do that, there's a whole kind of grace that sweeps over this whole effort that is remarkable. And that's why it's working.
This is almost poetic, Ben David. You're a district attorney. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with District Attorney Ben David and Vertex CEO Donald Crotu about Vertex's decision to locate here and how the company is collaborating with Hometown Hires. If you have a question for either of our guests, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. And we have an email from Paul D'Angelo. He says, I'm a big fan, Ben, of how you're reaching out into the community to find another answer to our crime problems by providing opportunity, pointing our marginalized population towards hope and success. It's great work. As an advocate for the South Side, I feel there's a lack of voices coming from members of this population. How can we get them on board to help us get their children, their neighbors, their family members to step up and get involved and educate the public that individual actions, whether towards crime or towards success, have an effect on your family, your neighbor, your block, your neighborhood, your community? In the end, how that good or bad action can literally affect the entire city of Wilmington.
I was in a home yesterday with Bishop Nesbitt, who's on the South Side running a 1,000-person congregation at the New Covenant Church on 10th and Dawson, where a little boy was killed by a stray bullet. It was the first murder case I handled, and we were talking about the South Side. I introduced him to Donald Crotu. Many people that are coming from that congregation, many people coming from that neighborhood will be working at Vertex one day. To be clear, this is not just a North Side effort. That's where we did our youth enrichment zone. I threw out the statistic there that of the 253 kids in 87 homes, there were a total of 4 dads living there in the North Side where we had the highest crime rate. You could say the same thing about the South Side. It's what Donald grew up in, so he gets it. I'm the DA not just for a certain region of this a city. I'm the DA for actually two counties, and my twin brother is for three counties to the west. It's a regional effort that we're talking about right now. That's what crime fighting needs to be. That's what economic development needs to be. So, Paul, helps on the way for the south side is just as much as for the north side. And I'm a big fan of what you're doing as well.
We have a couple minutes left. Donald Croteau, I think I asked this before in a little bit different way, but you really are a self-made man in the truest sense of the word. Why do you tend towards compassion for those who are struggling? Why do you not have the attitude that, well, I did it myself, so that guy can certainly do it on his own?
Well, I think that as I've evolved in the business world and I've had plenty of success, I've had plenty of failure as well. That's what happens when you're an entrepreneur, right? You just get up every day and try really hard, and some days it's great and some days it's not. I've watched a lot of people in my life treat people really badly. And when I've watched them do it and I've watched the results, the economic results, the financial results for a business are really incremental. And I don't understand why people who have a chance to change lives don't take it. I'm here as an advocate for Hometown Hires, of course, part of what I do. It's really Ben's vision that I'm enacting. I tend to be the poster child at the moment because I'm the train guy, as people like to say here in town.
Is Vertex the biggest employer so far, Ben David?
Oh, no question. And we're thrilled the trains come back. It was 55 years ago when it left CSX Railroad that we started the Committee of 100. And now, ironically, the train is coming back. And it's this rail company that's really giving huge life to this effort.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about the addition of Vertex Rail, expected to bring a $60 million investment, along with 1,300 new jobs to the region. If you have a question for the CEO or District Attorney Ben David, one of the creators of Hometown Hires, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You're listening to Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in studio once again, District Attorney Ben David and Vertex Rail CEO Donald Croteau. We're talking about the impact that Vertex Rail is likely to have in the region, and we'll take a look this segment about how county leaders can build on this success and why Vertex Rail is committed to hiring 10% of its workforce from a program administered by the United Way called Hometown Hires. If you have a question or a comment for either of our guests, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And Roy from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, interesting program and interview and all, but I've yet to hear what Vertex Rail does.
You missed the top of the show. Donald Croteau, what does Vertex do?
Hi, Roy. Vertex Rail Technologies is a company that will be manufacturing oil tank cars for the crude by rail service system and covered sand hopper cars for oil fracking or oil sand usage.
And with the price of crude tumbling lately, is that going to have an impact on your business?
Everybody asks us that question. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is probably not.
And why do you say that?
Well, because there are only four other companies in the United States that are allowed to make these cars. We are number five. They have a backlog that exceeds 2 years each. And while the price of crude has dropped some 40 or 50% in the last month and a half or 2 months, we see that people, while they may not need 10,000 cars, they need 6,000. They may not need 2,000. They may need 1,000. And if we're producing at that facility when we're really running between 4,000 and 5,000 cars a year, it won't take very many orders to fill that up and have us busy just like the other folks. There's also a secondary issue where, as you've seen in the news and read on the news and heard, obviously, from programs like this, there have been a lot of crashes and wrecks over the last year and a half. The most notable was in Canada in July of the year before last. Those crashes are primarily occurring with much older cars, cars that were designed 40 years ago. And those cars are going to be required, in my opinion, to come off the rail fairly quickly. So in addition to the pent-up demand for tank cars, the oil capacity needing cars, if they do take these cars off rail, which we expect them to, they're going to need to replace some 80 or 90,000 cars. And if everyone else is busy, we will be busy as well.
So you're actually going into operation, you said, in March?
We'll start building our sample cars in March of this year. It'll take about a month to a month and a half to become certified through the government, and then production will begin right after that.
And at this point, do you have orders?
We do.
Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Chess, and I've been an educator for 25 years. I've worked in low-performing schools the whole time with poverty children and young adults. And one thing I know is that when they decide that they want to try to succeed, they're absolutely wonderful to work with. But part of the problem that they have is that they have not developed their reading and their writing skills or their problem-solving skills over the years. And so my question to you, and I want to say I think it's wonderful what you're doing with Vertex, but what procedures, what processes are you going to put in place, not just mentoring, but to help them develop their reading, writing, and problem-solving skills so they can be more successful?
That's a great question, Chess. District Attorney Ben David.
Well, like I said, at Cape Fear Community College, there's a number of programs. In fact, in order to be eligible, not only do you have to be referred by one of the nonprofit partners, but you have to go through now a month-long certificate program just to show that you're showing up on time and are committed to the road ahead. Depending on the needs of the employer, there's going to be some additional training, as in the case of Vertex, obviously, they might have welding or whatever else to do. That's where the mentoring comes in. That's where some of the nonprofits that can really, like the literacy group that's here in town. They're one of our feeder agencies and also are committed to helping. This is going to be a long-term relationship.
You're talking about the Cape Fear Literacy Council.
Absolutely. They're some of our first employees came from direct referrals from them. A lot of people, English is a second language we're talking about. And so that's absolutely part of it. There are employers who are going to need that skill more than others, but we want to make sure that everyone who comes through as a hometown hire progresses in a career. We're not just talking about a paycheck. We're not just talking about a job. We're talking about fiscal literacy. We're talking about making sure that people, if they're eligible for expungement of nonviolent felonies, as the most conservative legislature in the history of this state made available last year, the reason I held a clinic and 500 people showed up is because you're now eligible for public housing when you have that removed. You're eligible maybe for some of the occupational licenses where you wouldn't be before. This is about getting people back into the sunlight who are now able to really be a participant in this economy and in this society. That's the long-term solution we're talking about with Hometown Hires. It's not just a moment where you're getting a job. We're looking at your life moving forward from maybe when you're antisocial or just not in the public square to being pro-social. And that's a long journey, and the mentors, the educators want to walk that path with them.
Does that help with your question, Chess?
Oh, yes, and I think it's wonderful. So I guess the next question would be, do you also have people volunteering? Like, would someone like me be able to volunteer, say, at the Literacy Center? Because I just retired.
Congratulations, Chess.
Yes, thank you for asking. We have, and I encourage you to call the United Way, and it's on the Hometown Hires website, the contact information. There's a great need for mentors, and so we would love to have volunteers that way. There, in many of our nonprofit partners, whether it's, you know, working with at-risk kids or the adult population, there's over 40 different nonprofits, and you can find them on the website, who would love to have you working directly with them and maybe identify some good candidates for this program.
Chess, thanks so much for your call.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. We have an email from Kim. She says, I work with low-income clients in the community. Most often they come from a family history of poverty and struggle to get jobs outside of illegal activities. Can I refer them to your program and how?
You need to go, again, through one of the nonprofit partners in the United Way umbrella. I encourage, if you have somebody who you think might be a good candidate, to reach out to Tommy Taylor, to Jameer Jamook, to Pat Ahern. They're all listed on the website for hometownhires.com, and they will put you in touch with the right folks moving forward on that.
And speaking of that, can we talk about if I'm an applicant, I want to go through the Hometown Hires program. What do I do? What is my experience going to be like? What am I going to be asked? What will I be expected to do?
Well, you're going to be asked if you've been in the area at least 1 year, because again, we're going for the ripple effect. If we can, you know, help that one person with maybe five or six people in their family locally, that has a force multiplier like it wouldn't if we were just attracting employees from somewhere else to get these jobs. So that's the only commonality. But how much do you make? Are you in poverty? There's if you go to the website, you'll see some of those questions. Then you'll go through the interview process after you've been vetted by one of the nonprofits. You will be partnered with, again, Cape Fear Community College to go through that certificate program, partnered with a mentor. We have a mixer, both online through SpeedFaces, which is a relatively new technology, as well as in person. And then you get to start meeting different employers. And we potentially want to grow this to job fairs. Right now, what we do is we just have an employee pool that we have vetted. And then when an employer has a need, they say, here's what we're looking for, and we'll send them a group of names.
What if I have a criminal background? I'm a nonviolent criminal, but I have a criminal background, and that's prevented me from getting a job. No one wants to hire someone with a record.
We don't have violent felons in the program at this point. We're talking about nonviolent felonies and misdemeanors, to be clear. And we also like to have the passage of time. We've been very selective, actually, in our employee pool. People who were technically eligible were like, no, we're not just pulling up a bus and saying, get on if you need a job. We are vouching for people who we would say, I would let them babysit my children. That's the first issue. Are they a good person who you trust to even get into the pool? We can do all the backgrounding after that. So there are people who have records who have been clean for a while, and as the legislature appropriately recognized, it's time to welcome them back into society if they've done their time, whether that's on probation or prison. And after a certain amount of time, we can even expunge that record if it's nonviolent and it's your only one.
And
so that's why we ran that program.
You have had some expungement clinics. People have been able to show up and say, hey, do I qualify? Can I have my record taken away?
The Chief Justice's Professionalism Commission sent 30 law students on their fall break from Chapel Hill here in October, and we ran 500 people through it. And the reason we did that is, again, so that they could now live with their families again, because many moms have to choose between the father of their children and living in affordable housing. They can go to the military again. They can go into getting occupational license to be a barber or to be an electrician. These are good things. And does it fight crime? Of course it does. The street's an equal opportunity employer. You want other great companies to compete with that. This isn't going to cut off jobs from other folks. There's going to be my children are one day going to graduate from college and hopefully move back to be with their mom and dad. I'm confident that this is going to make it a better work environment for them.
You are going to run across failure stories. That's going to happen. Donald Croteau, the first time you hire someone, and we don't have enough time to be able to look back and look at the successes and the failures, but how is that going to go for you? I mean, are you going to try to be there in a way that you wouldn't be there for other employees who weren't going through a program like this? Will you offer more support? Will you give them more chances than you would give other employees?
The short answer is no. Once they become a Vertex employee, they have a responsibility to be part of our team, to work and live and act just the way everyone else does. But we're pretty comfortable that we'll have a pretty high success rate. We do expect failure, but you can't give up on a program like this. You can't give up on any of your employees, and you can't give up on something that you believe in. So our job is to put our head down and don't stop until this is a success.
That, I think, is the biggest point here. It's others need to hear. These CEOs that I've talked to, they don't run a charity. They run a business. And if this isn't the best employee that we're putting before them, well, then don't hire them. But what we're saying is we believe that they are. And if you give them a chance, it's not just good for your business. It's great for this community also. It's good for all of us.
Is there a way to measure success? Will you be quantifying your success or lack thereof at some point?
We have some metrics behind it at this point. We know numbers. We know that 90 people have been hired even before Vertex committed another 130 jobs. There's a lot of different partners we'd like to work with moving forward, educators, professionals, to get some statisticians involved. It's too early so far. We're only a few months into this odyssey. I would like to put some data behind this. I don't think everything you measure counts, and not everything that counts can be measured. I think the environment we're creating right now is truly a game changer, and it's bringing in wonderful companies like the one that Donald Croteau runs.
So if this is a game changer, then it will need to be replicated in other communities. Is that starting to happen? Will it happen? Is it too early?
I was just at Mount Olive College 2 weeks ago talking to about 150 leaders from all over the state about what we're doing here, because the word's getting out. And that's only since November that this word even leaked out. I expect more communities to try and replicate it. I'm laser-like focused on what's happening here in the 5th District. I care deeply about Pender County and New Hanover County. My brother would say the same about his. And we are really looking right now at how we can help fight crime through economic opportunity. I really believe that we're onto something here, and it has to be outside of this room where it's happening. It has to be not government solving intergenerational poverty. We tried that 50 years ago. This is about the private sector. This is not national, it's local. And this is not a handout again, it's a hand up. And that, I think, is the biggest reason why we're going to continue to see its success.
And for those who are new to town, Ben David's brother is District Attorney John David, also his twin, who is District Attorney of Bladen, Brunswick, and Columbus counties.
Correct.
And is he working with Hometown Hires also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if we have a transportation issue because someone has an unpaid ticket that's revoked their license, we have a much easier ability in a 5-county area to say we can solve that right now. If it's an expungement issue, like I said, if it's a background check, if it's knowing folks, we know some people through our jobs that go outside the courthouse who care deeply about crime, who care deeply about the quality of life in this area, and we are trying to just introduce good people to each other, because if that happens, if you put good people in the same room with each other, like great employers and great employees, the rest takes care of itself.
Donald Croteau, going back to why you chose Wilmington, is there any advice that you could give to local leaders when it comes to, you know, the bottom line reason for your decision to come here? How might local leaders replicate this success?
Well, I think they have to believe in the different entities around them, Cape Fear Community College, NC Works, Ben David, Hometown Hires, people like that. Everybody in the community for more than a year quietly worked with us, didn't tell anyone we were looking, didn't tell anyone we were around. Wilmington Business Development was great. And I think it's a matter of, for me, it was a matter of, and it would be a matter of in the future, having them realize they can work together. You don't need to compete. Every one of these people put their strength in front of us, put their weakness behind them, and they made it a success. They made us decide to come here. So I would say work together, be collaborative, don't be shy, and it'll work out pretty well.
And when you say working together, not competing with one another, are you talking about different economic development organizations, or what do you mean?
Well, I just think different groups of people. There's always a certain amount of politics in anything we do. But a great example is I came to town very quietly in November of 2013, all by myself, to look at that site. And the real estate agent, strangely enough, who's not from Wilmington, suggested that I meet with Wilmington Business Development. Now, I didn't even know who these people were. So I said, okay, sure. And they immediately, rather than try to take the lead, although they've done wonderful work, they really have, they introduced me to Cape Fear Community College, because I said, at the time, by the way, I only needed half the jobs we need now. And I said, boy, that's a lot. And they said, no, we're going to show you someone who can help you. They immediately turned us on to Cape Fear Community College. And then they turned us on to NC Works, and as a group, they just worked together to prove that we could do this, and we can. I think we can together.
Just a minute or so left. Ben David, final thoughts?
You know, it's a great moment when the community where you live and you want to spend the rest of your life has a corporate citizen walk in, like Vertex and Donald Croteau. There's been a lot of quiet leadership going on, and that's what I found refreshing and rare. There are some great people who have been deeply rooted here for generations who get this. They understand that this is about bringing the community together and making us all better. That's why people want to come here right now. It's because of our people. And that's what Hometown Hires will continue to celebrate as we move forward.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Vertex Rail CEO Donald Croteau, District Attorney Ben David. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who called in and emailed your comments. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week when we explore the future of the Cape Fear region through New Hanover County's comprehensive plan and the Tri-County planning effort through Focus NC. That's next Wednesday at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Our producer is Ken Campbell. Isabel Shepherd is our phone screener, master tweeter, and production coordinator. Alexa Doran is our promotions specialist. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.